Good morning, everyone. If I haven't already met you, my name is Hilton Jordan, and I'm one of the pastoral staff here. Well, just in this past week, I Googled the word rest, and I made an interesting discovery, not at all what I expected. Numerous websites for holiday accommodation. Motels, B&Bs, self-contained apartments, guest houses, caravan parks, hotels, you name it, they came up on Google. Well, apparently, Google's keyword for holidays is rest or vice versa, and certainly in our culture, it seems that the word rest is associated with holidays, isn't it? Rest is regarded as an escape from the rat race. But it seems that many of us live one of two extremes. Either we live for our work, or we live for our rest. We live from day to day to earn as much as we can, and some of our songs reflect that, don't they? The old Beatles song, 8 days a week, for example. Or we live from weekend to play as much as we can. And some of our songs reflect that as well, such as the old Bangles song, Manic Monday. I'm dating myself, aren't I? Anyway, who cares? Some of us only work for our retirement. And then many retirees testify that the work actually never stops. So, there you go. Well, as you'll know, we're working through a series on the Ten Commandments. That's a pun which was very intentional, working through the Ten Commandments. Anyway, and today we're turning to the Fourth Commandment. And as Wayne pointed out, the subject is rest. It's the Fourth Commandment. We're particularly looking at Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 to 11. By the way, this is the trickiest of the Ten Commandments, so thanks, Wayne. Appreciate that. Put your helmet on, buckle up, brace yourself. It's possibly going to be a bumpy ride. And you're more than free to chat to Wayne or I after the service if you've got any questions about it. And, of course, the growth group study this week also tackles this commandment, so there's plenty of opportunity to talk about it. All right, well, the commandment begins in Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. To remember here is not what we would expect. We use the word remember to recall something, don't we? But in the Bible, particularly in the Old Testament, remembering is responding to. It's not just recalling. It's responding. Okay, so what response does God want his people to make? Well, he tells us he wants his people to keep the Sabbath day holy. The Sabbath day, as you may know, in the Jewish calendar, is the seventh day of the week. It's the Saturday. And to keep something holy just means to separate something, to set it apart, to make it different. And although we don't use that word holy a whole lot in our everyday lives, we use the concept, I think, on a daily basis. For example, we make some of our clothes holy for work, some of our clothes holy for exercise, some of our clothes holy for sleep. We've got holy pajamas. Okay, but that's what they are. They're holy. These clothes are set aside for work. But how does God want his people to keep Saturday apart? How does he want his people to keep the Saturday different or separate? Well, he tells them in verse 9, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. And so it carries on. God wants his people to do all their work Sunday to Friday and then rest on Saturday. Now the word Sabbath actually means rest. So it was very easy for the people of Israel to remember which day they were supposed to take a rest on. It was on rest day. Very technical stuff. But do you notice who the focus of the commandment is? The focus of the commandment is not on Israel. the focus of the commandment is not on the people who are resting. The focus of the commandment is on God. We read in the first part of verse 10, the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. The Sabbath day, in other words, is not just set aside for rest. It is also set apart or to be kept holy for the Lord, to the Lord. It is a day that's supposed to be given over to the Lord. Well, who's the Lord? The Lord is Israel's God. He's not the God of the Egyptians, who they've just been freed out of Egypt under the tyranny of the gods of Egypt, the false gods. He's not the God of the nations around Israel as they travel towards the promised land. The Lord is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God of Israel, the eternal creator who revealed himself to Moses at the unburning bush as I am who I am. He's the true and living God. He's the one who conquered all the false gods in Egypt through those 10 plagues. Defeating them one by one. Well, because Israel are the Lord's people, the people of the true and living God, they need to distinguish themselves from the other nations. They need to set themselves apart from those nations who worship the false gods. They need to live different lives. They need to live holy lives. And how do they do that? Very simply, they take a day of rest. They take a day of rest. Unlike the nations around them, they take a day of rest. And it's every seventh day. It's the Saturday, the Sabbath. And as we read in the elaboration of the commandment in verse 10, on it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. Every person and even every animal is to take a rest. But why should that be required by God's people as what sets them apart, what makes them different from the nations around them? Why taking a day of rest? And for that matter, why Saturday? Why not Sunday? Why not the first day of the week? Well, the answer is found in verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. The Lord, the God of Israel, created the world in 6 days. And ceased from his work on the seventh day. So the Lord blessed the seventh day. He approved of the seventh day. He made it holy. He set it apart. And so he established in his creating work and rest a pattern for his people. A pattern of work and rest that Israel are to follow. Well then, what's all of that got to do with us? Because we are not ancient Israel. Most, if not all of us, are not even Jews. Australia does not have a Sabbath day. Christians do not even take Saturday as a day of rest. So what relevance does this commandment have to you and to me? Well, to answer that question, we need to turn to the New Testament. We need to turn to the second part of the Bible, which contains the teachings of Jesus and of his disciples. When Jesus is confronted by the Pharisees, the Jewish legalists, and he's questioned about why his disciples are failing to keep the Jewish oral law about the Sabbath, not God's law, but the Jewish oral law about the Sabbath, he gives a very revealing answer. And he gives that in Mark chapter 2. In Mark chapter 2, at the end of the chapter, in verses 27 to 28, we read Jesus' response. Then Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. Jesus' first point is that the Sabbath day was created by God for humans. Humans were not created for the Sabbath day. In other words, the Sabbath day is meant to serve humans. Humans are not meant to serve the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day is intended to give God's people rest. It's not meant to be another burden that is placed on God's people. It's meant to give them rest. But Jesus' second point that he makes is even more different. In fact, it's altogether different. Jesus' second point is the game changer. Jesus often refers to himself as the Son of Man, and that's a somewhat ambiguous term because it could just refer to any person. But in the Old Testament, in the prophecy of Daniel, it refers to a very specific person. It refers to someone who is both a man and God. The Son of Man, in Daniel's prophecy, is both a man and God. And so, for those who have ears to hear, whenever Jesus calls himself the Son of Man, he's claiming to be God. In Jesus' second point here in Mark's Gospel, he removes any doubt about his identity, doesn't he? We read in verse 28, "So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Jesus says that he is the Lord God of Israel. He is the one who gave the Sabbath commandment to the people of Israel. In fact, not only that, but he is the one who created the world, the one who created the seventh day, the day of rest, the Sabbath. Well, if Jesus created the Sabbath, then he can do whatever he likes with it, can't he? If Jesus is the rule maker, then he can do as he pleases with the Sabbath. And he does just that. He does just that when he's preaching in his home state of Galilee. Listen to what he says in those words that were read to us earlier from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. I'm just reading the final words. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, the yoke that Jesus is talking about is obviously not the yoke of an egg. He's talking about that instrument that is placed on the shoulders of animals that are pulling heavy loads. Tired and overloaded. I wonder if that's how you feel. Tired and overloaded. Tired and overloaded people who come to Jesus are not given the heavy yoke of the law of the Old Testament. No one can bear the burden of the law because no one can keep the law. It's impossible. None of us is perfect. Tired and overloaded people who come to Jesus are given the light yoke of following Jesus. Following Jesus is easy because it's good and because it's comfortable. Jesus gives Sabbath to those who come to him. Jesus gives rest to those who follow him. So Sabbath is not just merely the absence of work or freedom from work. It's much more than that. It's freedom from frustration and it's fulfillment in Jesus. Jesus is able to give true rest, not passing rest, not temporary rest, not fading rest, not fake rest, but deep, abiding, profound, satisfying rest. The rest that he gives initially to us in this life, but he gives ultimately in the life to come. So do you have rest? Do you have rest in Jesus? Have you given control of your life to Jesus? Are you following Jesus? If you want rest from the rat race, it's the only way you're going to find it. And do you look forward to that ultimate and eternal rest in Jesus? Well, if that is true of Jesus, then how do we obey the fourth commandment? How do we keep the Sabbath? Well, firstly, we have to recognize that the Sabbath commandment was given to Jews. So have you converted to Judaism? Secondly, we have to recognize that the Sabbath day is a Saturday, not a Sunday. So do you rest from sundown on Friday to sundown on Saturday? And thirdly, we have to recognize that the Sabbath commandment requires working the rest of the week. So do you work Sunday to Friday? Well, I might be slightly facetious in asking those questions, but nevertheless, those questions need to be asked, don't they? Because those questions cut to the chase. Perhaps it's helpful if we don't so much ask, how can we obey the fourth commandment, as are we actually still required to keep the fourth commandment, to keep the Sabbath? Well, in answer to that question, firstly, we need to know that all of the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament, all of the Ten Commandments are repeated in the New Testament except for one. And guess which one is not repeated in the New Testament? It's this one. It's the Sabbath commandment. We are nowhere told in the New Testament that we have to keep the Sabbath. It's also important to know that one of the major questions that the early Christians faced in the first century was, must Gentiles become Jews to be Christians? Must Gentiles become Jews to be Christians? And the emphatic answer that Jesus' apostles gave in Acts chapter 15 at the Council of Jerusalem is no. Gentiles do not need to become Jews to be Christians. Well, the Jerusalem Council did not require non-Jews to keep the Sabbath. But not only that, in addition to that, it's important to know that Jesus' own apostle Paul, who, by the way, happened to be a Jew, answers the question of keeping the Sabbath day in his letter to the church in Colossae. And guess what that church in Colossae consisted of? Both Jews and Gentiles. So Paul's teaching is vitally important. And we read in Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. The reality, however, is found in Christ. The Sabbath day is only the shadow. The reality is Christ. What value is the shadow? Do you give any concern, any care, any time, any energy to shadows when you have the reality right in front of you? If you have the shadow of the Queen in front of you, do you bow to the shadow of the Queen? Hope not. You bow to the reality, if you bow at all. The Saturday rest looks forward to the actual rest, and that is Jesus Christ. Why would you want the likeness when you can have the substance? Jesus himself fulfills the Sabbath commandment because he is the rest that we need. He is the rest that the commandment is anticipating. So don't let anyone judge you for keeping a Sabbath. Don't let people such as Seventh-day Adventists judge you by whether or not you observe the Sabbath. Because what is important is not the day, it's the person. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the reality. He is the rest. He is who we should be concerned about. So if that's the case, can we ignore the fourth commandment? Absolutely not. We cannot ignore any part of God's word, and Jesus tells us that himself. Jesus did not come to abolish the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them. Not one iota of God's word will pass away. Well, if we can't ignore the fourth commandment, how do we respond to the fourth commandment? The fourth commandment guides us, as I've said, to Jesus. Without Jesus, we will never have true rest. Not in this life and not in the life to come. So do we have to keep the Sabbath day? No. Do we have to have a day of rest? Yes. How can I answer that confidently? Well, because of the creation model that God gives his people in Exodus chapter 20. God himself worked 6 days and rested on the seventh day. He ceased from his work on the seventh day. So God has set us an example. God has given us a model that we are to follow. Does it matter which day of the week you take your day of rest? Absolutely not. Saturday is a good day. Sunday is a good day. Monday is a good day. I take my day off on a Friday. Otherwise, I would be a total hypocrite, wouldn't I, standing in front of you today on a Sunday? Whether you take your day, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, whatever, does not matter. What is important is that you have a 7-day cycle, 6 days work, 1 day rest. Rest is wise. Rest is godly. Rest is necessary. But do you rest? Do you rest? Do you take your day off? Or do you fill it up with work? Do you take your annual leave? Or do you put it aside, postpone it? Do you rest? Do you take your long service leave if you have such a thing? It is entirely necessary that we rest. Without rest, we cannot be effective workers. We need rest. Jesus himself rested, and Jesus instructed his disciples to rest. Rest is good. But for that matter, do you work? Do you work? Do you work 6 days a week? I'm not just talking about an employment. It might be self-employment. I'm not just talking about going out to work. It could be at home. I'm not just talking about working people. You could be a retiree. Do you work 6 days a week? Do you put in what is necessary to keep yourself, to support others? Work is not an evil. Work is not a curse. Work is good. And that's why God's people are instructed to work 6 days a week. If we can find a job, we need to take up that work. Work is not only wise, work is godly. Jesus himself was a very hard-working man. So, do we need to keep the Sabbath day? No. Do we need to have a day of rest? Yes. But more importantly, don't just have temporary rest. Don't just have passing rest. Don't just have fleeting rest. have solid rest, have true rest, have real rest, have deep and profound rest. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ, because his load is not heavy. It is not burdensome. If you are feeling overloaded and exhausted, come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will give you rest. If you are looking for freedom from the rat race, Jesus will give you that freedom in this life. And more importantly, he'll give you total rest, ultimate rest in the life to come. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you call us to rest. We thank you that we can find rest, that it's not elusive, that it's not impossible to attain, but Jesus is our rest. Help us to come to him for real rest, lasting rest, true rest. We thank you that his burden is not heavy, it's not something that will exhaust us, but it is light, it is easy, it is good. Following Jesus is fulfilling. And so, Father, we pray that you'd help us to give our lives to him, to follow him, to come to him, that we might enjoy rest. Rest even in this life, in the midst of the rat race, but especially rest in the life to come, in all its fullness. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd help us to be wise and godly people, taking a day of rest each week, taking our annual leave, making sure that we get the rest that we need, that we might honor you and that we might be effective workers. But help us to not to neglect work. Help us to take up work for the good thing that it is, to engage in work and not be lazy. Father, we pray that you'd help us to follow the teaching that you give us in your word on work and rest. And we ask that for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.